This is the Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Join me and listen in as I chat with authors writing on the less gritty side of crime. You won't find graphic sex or violence. You will find intriguing plots, engaging characters, and entertaining writing. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author of the Gethsemane Brown Mysteries and host of the podcast. Molly McRae, author of The Thistles and Thieves, the latest Highland Bookshop Mysteries, joins me in the corner for a chat today. Welcome, Molly.
Hi, Alexia. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, Thistles and Thieves is your third Highland Bookshop mystery. So tell us what's going on at Yon Bonny Books this time around.
Oh, gosh. Janet Marsh, who is the main protagonist of sort of four protagonists, has taken up bicycle riding as a way of keeping fit. And bicycling in the Highlands is not the easiest thing to do. Her goal is to join the next Haggis Half Hundred, a 50-mile bike ride through the Highlands with the wonderful ending of joining everyone else who rode for a plate of haggis, which is not everyone's idea of a great ending to a bike ride, but that's her goal. So, but while she's out practicing for this bike ride, which is going to take months for her to get ready, she unfortunately stumbled across a body. And that's how these mysteries start, isn't it?
It is. Although not me start with a plate of haggis.
No, that's true. But this is the Highlands.
I'd much rather ride for a nice single malt and maybe some shortbread.
Well, there'd be single malt involved with this too, probably, because most people do have some whiskey when they eat their haggis, and you can put those two together and figure out maybe why they have the whiskey.
We'll have to ask Katrina McPherson.
Yeah.
So now you mentioned you have four protagonists. Is that challenging for you to have a mystery series with more than one sort of hero of the story?
Kind of yes, kind of no. It gives a group that's able to do some investigating together. So there are sounding boards, you know, inherently built into that. And the whole premise for this series came about through a sort of a Facebook joke that I, not really a joke, but a wish that I started. I saw an advertisement for a bookshop for sale in Scotland. It was the furthest north bookshop in Scotland, and it was a going concern in a well-traveled tourist town, but it was time to sell the shop and move on. And so they were looking for someone to buy, and I thought, God, wouldn't that be great? So I posted it on Facebook. I said, who wants to join me? And all kinds of people wanted to join me. And one said, I'll run a tea shop. Oh, you could do this, and I will run that. Oh, and we'll do this. And so I thought, well, there's a great premise for a mystery series. A group of friends move to the Highlands, buy this bookshop, and go from there. And so I did a lot of research to see if it was possible for Americans to actually move to Scotland, buy a business, and keep going. And yes, it is, as long as they have enough money. And so I built that into the whole story too.
And speaking of research, what's been the most fun part of researching your series?
Ooh, the language is an awful lot of fun. I love words, and I love knowing that there are different words. You know, English and American English and British English are very similar, and yet they've got some fun differences. And Scots, which is its own language, but also very much English, also has some differences. And then there's the Scottish Gaelic. So I've had fun mixing those around some. And I just, I love the countryside. I love the landscape of Scotland. I lived there for a year, many years ago, and this is my way of going back.
And is having lived there, does that help you capture the flavor of life in a Scottish village?
I sure hope so. I did live in Edinburgh. I didn't live in a village, but I did travel around quite a bit. The village, Inversgail, is an invention on my part. And sadly, I did get an email from a reader who had fallen in love with Inversgail. And it was she went to Scotland and she was doing other things too, but she looked for it. She looked for this town and she couldn't find it.
Oh my.
It's fiction.
Oh, she'll have to read more of your books and discover it in the pages of your book.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Now, you also write the Haunted Yarn Shop Mysteries.
Yeah.
A haunted yarn shop is quite different from a Scottish bookshop. So what are some challenges of writing books with such different settings?
Oh, well, creating a whole new town for each one, which I did, because although the town in the haunted yarn shop, it's a creation. It's in my head, but it's based on all the best parts of my favorite small towns, whether they're in the South or in the Midwest. So yeah, building it's not world building, but it's small town building. So that's both a challenge and a joy to create this, build this town and people it in such a way that readers would like to move there. So that's been fun.
And how did your research for the Haunted Yarn Shop series differ from your research for the Highland Bookshop series?
I read a lot of books about ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts, and my main character didn't believe in ghosts. But I work in the children's department of the public library here, and here's a good tip for anyone doing research, basic research. Children's nonfiction is often a great place to start because it's a good, nice synthesis. It's a good capsule summary of the best parts of the research, and then that might lead you on to somewhere else, but because they also have bibliographies in the back. But that's what I did when I was quote unquote babysitting for middle school students after school in our department, which just meant making sure they weren't doing things that middle school students would really like to be doing. And I stood around reading our books about ghosts and finding out what they can and can't do supposedly through the folklore or the stories. And I had actually already written one of the books and I found out that I had done it pretty well. So that was good.
Oh, good. Now you mentioned the one way that being a librarian helped you write mysteries is knowing, for example, to go to the children's nonfiction section. What are some other ways that your work as a librarian helps you with your mystery writing?
Oh, it's a great place to people watch. We get so many different kinds of people in our library. It's like it's a parade of characters constantly. It's lovely. And there's a certain amount of my job that, you know, it requires attention to detail, but after you've been doing it for 10, 15 more years, parts of it become rote. And so that frees up your mind to do something else, like plot a murder.
And you plot murders of people who bring books back late?
No. No. That part of the library stays out of it. And our library is very big on the yes. You know, if we can help you in some way by saying yes, and if that includes bringing your book back late without a fee, by golly, we'll do that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And it must be exciting for patrons to check out a book written by the librarian who's checking it out to them.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun, although mostly I fly under the radar. Every once in a while, someone will come up and say they like a recommendation. I ask what they like to read. And so if they like traditional or cozy mysteries, it's fun being able to point them in the direction of people I know. For instance, your books. I have often recommended them.
Oh, thank you.
A person, I've been able to recommend them. But once in a while, I'll say, oh, you know, do you like knitting? Do you like slight paranormal? Or do you like the Highlands? Let me recommend this series, and I'll write it down and put the person, you know, the author's name, and hand it to them. And they don't catch on for maybe ever. But sometimes, you know, they'll come back a few weeks later and say, hey, wait a second.
Was that you? And what parallels do you see between librarians and amateur sleuths?
Oh, gosh. Librarians have to know how to follow clues, very definitely. You know, if someone comes to the, especially a child, but often, very often adults, they'll come to the desk and ask a question. And you try to, you know, they say what kind of book they want, or they say, well, you have to do follow-up questions. You have to do a little reference interview to find out what they're really looking for, to find out what they're really after. So there are a lot of parallels like that. You have to read between the lines. You have to interpret. But you also have to learn how to how to research something, whether to start with a broad topic or you find out that less is more often if you're doing a Google search, for instance. It's like we can find things so fast that people have said, oh, I've been looking for this for years and I tried Googling it. Well, they don't know the little tips and tricks. And so I think that helps for an amateur sleuth. I think we're all amateur sleuths in one way or another.
Now, you mentioned some of the adult recommendations that you steer patrons towards. Mm-hmm. And there are some wonderful juvenile mysteries. One of my personal favorites is The Tattooed Potato and Other Clues. I also, when I was, young, well, I'll say young. I'm still young at heart. When I was young in actual chronological age, I also read classics like Agatha Christie and Rex Stout. Mm-hmm. So what mystery would you recommend to a young library patron wanting to start reading the genre?
Well, it would depend on the age of the child. But for instance, for, say, a girl, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, even older than that, there's a wonderful, depending on whether they want something contemporary or historical, with animals, you know, or realistic. Oh, let's see. One of my favorites is written by Octavia Spencer, the Academy Award winning actress.
Oh, wow.
She writes a series of mysteries, good for boys and girls, probably fourth, fifth, sixth grade, called, well, Randy Rhodes is the protagonist, a girl who's tween, you know, not quite a teenager. She and her father, they've recently lost her mother, moved down to a small town in Tennessee that he grew up in, and of course this child is a fish out of water, but she meets up with two boys, and one is a martial arts expert, and the other is very bright, and they start solving mysteries. It's fantastic. You can just pick it up and read it. Adults can enjoy it. There are three so far in the series. They're super. And then there's also a series by Nancy Springer about Sherlock Holmes's younger and much smarter sister called Enola Holmes. There are six in that series, and that's all there will be for that series. You would think that Conan Doyle had written these books. They're so beautifully done, so beautifully researched. They do get a little bit dark, but not terribly dark. But she, Enola Holmes, is a young woman who should be going off to finishing school. Sherlock and Mycroft want to send her off to Switzerland, and she runs away from home, runs away from them, sets herself up as a detective in London all on her own, and keeps herself safe from her brothers who want to find her and also start solving mysteries that they haven't been able to solve. They're fabulous.
Wow. Actually, I might need to look both of those series up myself.
You should.
Do you find that young library patrons who read mysteries grow up to be adult library patrons who continue to read mysteries?
I would think so. Our community is kind of fluid. So the kids who I knew when I first started there, many of them are now gone. So I don't know what they're reading. But it makes sense that they would. You know, just they love to read anyway. We do get some of the kids coming back, one set of brothers come back every once in a while and are so pleased that I remember who they are. And they're now, one of them is in medical school and one of them is in advanced engineering school. It's so cool.
Sadly, most libraries have had to close due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah. So how are the libraries helping patrons find the mysteries and other books that they love now that they can't physically go check out the books?
We do an awful lot of stuff online. Libraries have a presence on Facebook and through Twitter. And our website is excellent. So if people are still able to put things on hold for when we do open up again, but we also have the e-collections. We've got audiobooks and e-books that they can download. So we're closed to the public in person, but we are still open and circulating electronic materials.
And are your books available as those electronic materials?
Thank goodness they are, yes.
So what's next for Yibani Books?
I'm finishing up the first round of edits for the next Highland Bookshop book called Heather and Homicide, and it will be out in December. And then it'll come back for another couple of rounds of edits, but through the summer it should be finished up. And then in the meantime, between those rounds of edits, I've got to start another book, and I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be. It's under contract, but not specified. So it could be that it would be another Highland Bookshop, but my agent and I are thinking it will be something different and maybe a bit of a departure, but we're still working on that. So nothing firm on that.
It's an exciting mystery to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a mystery to me anyway. Yeah.
And other than checking out electronic copies from the library, where can readers find a copy of the Highland Bookshop or the Haunted Yarn Shop Mysteries?
At any, you can order it through any bookstore. Some bookstores will actually have the books on the shelf. Any online bookstore. You can also find them probably in used bookstores. Pretty much anywhere that you can find books, you can find them.
And where can readers connect with you?
I have a webpage. It's the www.mollymcrae.com. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, although I haven't done much with Instagram in the last couple of months because I was so madly writing the Heather and Homicide. But I need to get back to that. I'm on Killer Characters once a month on the 23rd of each month, and you're on now too on the 25th of each month. That's very nice. Very pleased to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be there.
Cool. That's probably it. Stop by the library when we open again.
And on Facebook, how can they find you on Facebook? I don't know if Facebook handles the proper term.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's Molly McCrae, and I think I'm Molly McCrae 9, but just look up Molly McCrae and you should be able to find me. And it's McCrae is M-A-C-R-A-E.
And are you also Molly McCrae on Twitter and Instagram?
Oh, no, as a matter of fact, I'm not. Although that would probably find me too, but I'm Mystery McRae.
Mystery McRae.
There were so many Molly McRae's already there. So yeah, Mystery McRae works.
That definitely makes you unique.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Molly, for chatting with me in the corner today.
Thank you so much for having me, Alexia. It's been fun.
It has been. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, your host. You've been listening to my guest, Molly McRae, author of Thistles and Thieves, the third Highland Bookshop mystery. Until next time, goodbye. You've been listening to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. Thank you for joining me for another chat with an author writing on the less gritty side of crime. A new episode is out every other Wednesday. Subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform, and if you enjoy the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at @podcast_cozy and on Facebook at The Cozy Corner Podcast. This has been your host, Alexia Gordon. Thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you.